Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So many different divisional round playoff stories to dive into here. Four different big games, four different results. Congrats to the Packers, to the Bucks, to the Chiefs, and to the Bills as your teams are all advancing. Two of those teams will be going to the Super Bowl. And I want to start with Tom Brady. We're going to get, by the way, to the health of Patrick Mahomes in the next segment, which is, to me, the overall number one story by far in the world of sports all week long. How healthy is Patrick Mahomes going to be? Will he be able to play? We'll talk with Dr. David Chow next at ProFootballDoc on Twitter, former team physician for the Chargers. What does the concussion protocol consist of? What does he feel is likely that he can glean from the information that is out there publicly so far? We will discuss all of that with you as we move forward and unpack all of these different games. But we probably saw the end of Drew Brees' career on Sunday evening in New Orleans. It was sad to watch him leaving the field. But what was interesting was Brees appeared with his arm to have almost nothing left at the age of 41. In other words, this is a gunslinger who went out with no bullets left in his gun, right? The shootout at OK Corral, the shootout at the Superdome, Drew Brees, I don't believe, has anything left in his arm. Tom Brady looks like he could play for another 5 years. Brady is older. He is 43. Drew Brees just turned 42, I believe. But Brady is the older quarterback who has been playing longer in the league, and he looks like the younger guy. Brady is going to go on the road in Green Bay against Aaron Rodgers, and if he doesn't win that game in the NFC Championship game, by the way, the 14th different conference championship game of Tom Brady's career, his first NFC Championship game, it's not like his season and his career with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is over. I don't even think he's got one more year. I think you probably have to put his over-under at 2.5 years because he's now got over 40 touchdowns. And the offense, to me, if you watch the way he was flinging the ball around the field, I don't know if he's ever had, and I said this coming into the season, I don't know that Tom Brady has ever had better weapons than what he has right now with this Tampa Bay Buccaneer offense. But Brady's ability in his first year, in a COVID year no less, to be capable of taking a brand new team that he's barely been able to practice with into the NFC Championship game against the Green Bay Packers is extraordinary. And not only that, to go on the road and win in Washington and then go on the road and win in New Orleans, and I know we're not talking about big, loud, crowded stadiums like ordinarily would be the case, but he's going on the road in the wild card round for a third straight week. And he's got a pretty good chance of getting past the Green Bay Packers, who, by the way, if you remember, got dominated down in Tampa Bay earlier in the season. The Bucs beat the Packers 38-10, and it was probably the best single performance that the Bucs put forward all season. So, I know that we have bathed Tom Brady in adulation and that he is the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL, but what's remarkable is we haven't even finished writing the full list of his accomplishments, and he now is refuting the greatest argument that was ever made against him, which was, oh yeah, Brady's really good, but the reason why he's able to do that is because of Bill Belichick. Well, we got our own crazy laboratory test this season. What would happen if Belichick had to coach the Patriots without Brady, and if Brady had to leave the Patriots and try to win without Belichick? Well, the answer is Brady can flip conferences, go into the NFC in his first year ever playing in the NFC, and he's in the NFC championship game. And he's doing it without the ability to work in the offseason like you ordinarily would because of COVID. And as if that were not enough, he's also doing it with a team without a culture of winning. This is a team that hasn't been in the postseason in over a decade. And Brady shows up and they don't just make the postseason. They immediately win two games in the postseason. And they've got a pretty good chance of winning the NFC too. So you can't even point to the Belichick factor or the culture of winning factor in New England and say, well, that's why Tom Brady was so good. Brady is so good because he's just that good. Excellence transcends location. And that is what we are seeing of Brady. And by the way, this is not Michael Jordan joining the Wizards. The GOAT did not go and continue his career, and we're going to have to pretend this wasn't happening at all. Brady has extended his string of greatness. And he's making anybody who thought he needed to retire or that he was washed up look imbecilic. And there are a lot of us out there who made those arguments at different points at the end of Brady's tenure with the Patriots, saying he didn't have much left. We were wrong. Anybody who said that was wrong. Brady's excellence is truly becoming transcendent right now. You know who's not transcending his overall excellence in the regular season? Lamar Jackson. We're going to talk about that a little bit at the end of this show. But in the meantime, Brady versus Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes, that has got to be making a lot of you out there listening to me right now who are football fans really, really excited.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
MLK holiday. I hope some of you spent some time reflecting about what that means for you, your family, and your loved ones in your life and what you can do to help make the country a better and more equal and fair place. And certainly, I appreciate all of you who, a lot of us, work on holidays. We worked on, especially during football holidays, Labor Day, we're always here. We worked on New Year's Day because we had the college football playoff games. I worked on Christmas Eve. I know a lot of you out there work on Thanksgiving. You work on the day after Thanksgiving. I know a lot of you are out there working on Christmas. And a lot of you also working today on MLK Day as we have been breaking down everything in the divisional round of the playoffs. Earlier in the show, I told you that the four best performances, if I were ranking them, of the teams that advanced, I thought the Packers were by far the best team, top to bottom, offense and defense, in the NFL in divisional round playoffs. They outgained, the Packers did, 484 yards to 244 yards, the Rams. Wasn't remotely close necessarily on the scoreboard, but also in the game itself, the Packers took control of that game from the earliest moment. The Bucs, I thought, had the second performance, forced four turnovers against Drew Brees and that Saints offense. The tough end of the career for Drew Brees, but he went out at home in front of his home fans. Incredible, phenomenal first ballot Hall of Fame career. I think reports are that he's going to go straight into the broadcast booth for NBC. I expect that he will be very good there. But the Bucs' second best performance, Tom Brady, legendary career, just gets more legendary. We've talked a lot about that during the course of the program. The Chiefs' third best performance, a little bit hard to judge the Chiefs because of that Patrick Mahomes injury. And if you just heard Dr. David Chow breaking down everything surrounding Patrick Mahomes, I imagine that's probably the best discussion that you're going to hear about health-related concerns, what concussion protocol is like, and what you can anticipate going forward from Dr. Chow. We had him on in the first hour, played him the third hour there as well. Chiefs' third-best performance. And then the Bills, very fortunate to win. They managed to shut down Lamar Jackson, held him to 3 points in the offense. But really, the play of the game was a defensive performance by the Bills, over 100-yard, 101-yard interception return. Which leaves me with this question for all of you as we finish the Monday edition of the program. Why is Lamar Jackson's excellence in the regular season not translating to the postseason? He has now played in 4 playoff games. 3 of them have been losses. Even the win that he got against the Titans, the defense basically won that game. Lamar Jackson in this year's postseason, the offense posted 20 points against the Titans and 3 points against the Bills. It's an average, if I'm doing my live math correctly, of 11.5 points per game. All right? That's not going to cut it. And Lamar Jackson, I believe, regressed as a part of this Baltimore Raven offense in year 3 compared to the excellent standard he set in year 2. You can make an argument, and I'm sure we'll unpack this some this week when there are fewer games to discuss. You can make an argument that right now Lamar Jackson is the NFL's version of James Harden or Russell Westbrook. Guys that are MVP caliber, regular season performers, but as soon as they get to the postseason, for whatever reason, it doesn't seem to come together for them. What is it about Lamar Jackson's talents that don't translate so far into the postseason? Now, you can certainly point out that he's young. You can say at some point down the line it may all come together for him. You can even make the analogy, hey, it took Peyton Manning several years to win in the postseason as well. But it's fair to say at this point that Lamar Jackson is not the same player in the postseason as he is in the regular season, and that if you compare him to somebody like Tom Brady, who I bet he'd like to be compared to, Brady raises his level of play in the postseason, and he's continued his excellence. He has won the divorce against Bill Belichick. We're going to be talking all about Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers all this week as well as following Patrick Mahomes' health and seeing whether Josh Allen can take the next step. All that's still to come. It's going to be a heck of a week of Outkick here. I appreciate all of you hanging out with us. This has been the Monday edition of Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis, weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.